Let me draw your attention to the book of Jonah for a little bit this morning. I'm not going to necessarily draw a text out of the book of Jonah. There's a lot of mercy that's found in this book. There's mercy to Jonah, and then there's mercy to Nineveh. When you calculate, when you bring in all of the aspects of Jonah and of Nineveh, all of the things of Jonah, all of the things of Nineveh, you find that Jonah's story is a story of mercy. We could go back into Genesis and talk about the story of Noah. Noah gives us a story of grace. Incredible grace. Year after year after year, Noah preached. And what he was preaching was that something tragic is coming, something devastating is coming, but God is providing an ark of safety, providing grace. What a wonderful story of grace. And yet when you really stop and you look at the story of Noah, one thing does come to surface, at least for someone in my position. One of the things that comes to the surface in the story of Noah is that he preached 120 years in vain. Preaching in vain. You say, oh, it wasn't entirely in vain. No, he did build an ark for the saving of his wife and sons and daughters-in-law. But all of the other people had better things to do, had better understanding of the weather and the times, better understanding of circumstances, better understanding of pleasure, better understanding of God. And so they ignored this prophet or preacher of doom who was giving them, providing for them grace. Let's come back over to Jonah, because that's where I want to focus this morning. Jonah, with all of this measure, this huge amount of mercy that is extended in the book of Jonah. Before we find mercy in the book of Jonah, we find the figurative nature of down. Down. You know, very quickly in the book of Jonah, we'll find at verse number 3 that Jonah went down. He had heard the voice of God. He had experienced the presence of God. He had acknowledged the rightful place of God. We find that very quickly. But also very quickly we find that Jonah went down. There is a figurative nature of that word down. It indicates that you're going in the wrong direction. Most times when somebody speaks about heaven or hell, they speak about heaven being up and hell being down. I know that that's a stretch of the figurative nature of down, as it were, and maybe we can stretch it so far to stretch ourselves right out of the gospel, right out of God's word, but again, over and over again, we see it in the book of Jonah, in the life of Jonah, we see that he was going down. He went down to Joppa. Now, Joppa was the city of pleasure. He decided that what he needed more than anything was to leave the presence of God, to ignore the voice of God, and to go to the city of pleasure. He went down to Joppa. If we allow our mind to dwell on that for just a little while this morning, down to Joppa would indicate that he was leaving, he was walking away from light. He was walking away from the light that God was giving to him by going down to Joppa. So if somebody's saying, well, this word down here just simply means a direction that he was going, we would have to stop and recognize that in his effort to go down to Joppa, he was leaving the light of God behind, which is a negative. He was not only leaving light behind, but he was walking away from training and from his upbringing. He was walking away from what he knew to be right. He was walking away from a godly environment, perhaps. You say, well, that's hard to derive here. It's hard to understand that in this particular scripture and what it's giving to us. But if Jonah was the prophet that God was calling him to be, he had an environment that was godly in some form or another, in some way. He was walking away from that godly environment. As we think about what he was walking away from, we see that he was walking toward something else. He was walking toward pleasure, selfish pleasure. I'd like to find pleasure in life. I suppose you do too. No, if any one of us find anything greater than simply the pleasure of being in God's presence. The pleasure of being in God's presence. But he was walking towards selfish pleasure. He was walking towards the things that would please him. He was looking for something to satisfy him. It wasn't about anything else. It wasn't about anybody else. He was going to do this for himself. To preserve himself. He was walking toward selfish pleasure. He was walking toward selfish desires. He was walking towards personal desires. By going down to Joppa, he was leaving behind and he was going towards. When he got to Joppa, he found a boat. You know, Noah had a boat. He built an ark for the saving of his house, it tells us. We understand that he built that ark for the preservation of those that were willing to step on board and for the animals that came on board. There was a lot of grace that I've already mentioned that was in the story of Noah. And here we find another boat. Jonah finds a boat. This boat is going to take him away from all of those things that we were just talking about. And again, he was pressing for all those things that we were talking about of personal and selfish desires and pleasure and motives. Just as much as Noah's ark was for the saving of his house, I believe that we could understand that this particular boat was designed to take him away from and lead him on a wrong course, to take him in the wrong direction. While this passage of Scripture, this chapter here that begins the book of Jonah and the fullness of this story that's taking place, and we don't really see every little detail, but I don't think it's too far of a stretch of the imagination at all for us to understand that after Jonah got onto this boat and was going in the wrong direction, that there was smooth sailing for a while. Do you ever get a little too comfortable in your comfort? You know, God's blessing me. I wonder if Jonah could have said that. Do you suppose that Jonah, you and I would say no, Jonah couldn't possibly have said that, because we wouldn't say that he would feel that way because we know the end of the story. But if we ignore the end of the story and just simply put ourselves into his situation and his predicament, where he is going against God and he is driving himself away from the things of God, and he's going down to Joppa, and he finds himself on this ship, and he's so comfortable with all that's taking place that he goes to the bottom of the ship and he falls asleep. What comfort. Smooth sailing. God's blessing. I'm not missing the mark this morning, because I've heard it said over and over again that even in the midst of people's sin, in the midst of somebody's outright sin, in the midst of that smooth sailing that comes from time to time, they thought that God was blessing. I'm not missing the mark at all. I believe that there was smooth sailing. I don't know how long that smooth sailing lasted. It does tell us that the smooth sailing ended. It may have even ended abruptly. We don't know how the storm came up. I understand that a few Wednesday nights ago, when Amy had her prayer meeting, that she was talking about storms, and lo and behold, a storm came up right about that time and started crashing with thunder and whatnot. And what a good natural illustration to her message and to her truth that night. I don't know if the storm came up suddenly or if it just progressed to the point that we find that it's given to us here in the passage, but that stands out to me, that there was smooth sailing for a while. Before the storm hit, before the disappointments came and the unhappiness came and maybe the disgrace, where he had to humble himself and recognize that he was indeed running from God, and the only way to save the lives of the other people on the ship and the rest of the wares that may have been remaining on the ship, the only way to save and salvage any of that was for him to be thrown overboard, disgraced. Down to the bottom, down to Joppa, down to the bottom of the boat, down to the bottom of the mountains, it tells us in chapter 2, verse 6. I'd like to read that portion right in there where Jonah is crying out from the belly of the whale, the fish. One thing that he states in that prayer is, he said, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." It could very, very easily have been a deathbed repentance here for Jonah, because Jonah knew that there was no hope for him. Jonah knew that there wasn't any way that he was going to come out of this alive. Even if he believed God could or would perform a miracle, it was a far-fetched imagination that would think that God was going to save him. In chapter 2, verse 5, we find that he's overwhelmed with the distress. He said, even to the soul, coming down to the very soul, he was overwhelmed with the distress. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I think that he must have surely have been as low as any human could be. Back flies the curtain of darkness, revealing eternity's death. Amid all that horror of blackness, alone and forever I drift. The feeling of lonely, the feeling of being forsaken, the feeling that all is lost. down. He kept going down, step by step, step by step. God didn't stop him like he did Balaam. On the way, he let him go from his place of home, from the calling and from the voice of God and from the presence of God, from the place of rejoicing, let him go down to Joppa and then down to the bottom of the boat and let him go on down. The figurative nature of down. Chapter 2, verses 7 to 9 shows us Jonah's repentance. Chapter 2, verse 10 and the first verse of chapter 3 show us his restoration, revealing to us the mercy of God that's extended even to the likes of Jonah and to the likes of the Ninevites and to you and I. Praise God for his mercy this morning. Praise God for his grace this morning. Praise God for the provisions that he has given to us, that we could be free, that we could be brought back, that we could be saved. The saving of our households. Thank God for the mercy of the book of Jonah, the story of Jonah. And it's extended to you and to I, each one of us, to me this morning. Each one of us. I thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning, but I can't help but believe as God has pressed this message of being, of going down upon my heart for this morning's service, that he knew that somebody somebody's not comfortable in the presence of God. That somebody needs to be restored. Maybe it's still smooth sailing for a time. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart this morning? You can come and pray, and God will restore. Let's stand together this morning. With our heads bowed, just simply pausing for a while this morning. It's too easy to let the enemy slip us up. It's too easy to allow him to get us distracted. Somebody did something to me. Somebody said something against me. Something happened. Or the cares of life. In the midst of the presence of God this morning, as he spoke to your heart to let you know that you need to come back a little closer or come back to that you've drifted.
Amen. I trust the Holy Spirit continue to speak to our hearts and bless us with His presence. Let's go rejoicing in Him today. Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning, for your participation in worship and praise. Praise God. Don't forget our service this evening, services this evening, and fellowship time after service tonight as well. Some of you may not have known about it or heard about it, but we'll plan to get together after church tonight. Praise God. Let's conclude this morning by singing that song, that doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.